Bye. What is up, everybody? Welcome to this Trainwreck Sports Podcast, where we are here to pay the bills, presented by Outlet Liquor, the place to buy a case anywhere in Western New York. And the Bills are paying bills today, too, or at least the Bills have come due. It's a huge day in Bills, this modern Bills history, as we saw a flurry of releases over the last couple of hours. Jordan Poyer, Mitch Morse, Nyheim Hines, Deonte Hardy, Saron Neal, and then finally a post-June 1 designation cut for Tre'Davious White, the first draft pick under the Sean McDermott era, the cornerstone of that defense for a long time, coming off of two unfortunate injuries. So we see White, Poyer, Morse, former All-Pros on this team in the last couple of years. Hines, Hardy, and Neal, more of expected. I was still a little surprised by Saron Neal, but Hines and Hardy were expected casualties. But Poyer, Morse, and White, huge surprises today. And so we're here for a quick pod breakdown to just kind of talk through the emotions of the day. There's a lot of battling sentiments that I'm going to kind of go through here. So obviously from the sentimental side, as we talked about, Tre'Davious White, he is the first draft pick of Sean McDermott. He was the heart and soul of this defense for a long time, an all pro at the cornerback position. He has the Trey White Goalie Academy, as my guy Connor Hurley posted earlier. You should go watch that if you haven't seen it. Like, really just a great personality, a guy who really loved to be here, loved the opportunity to be here in Buffalo. And it's going to be sad to see him go, and it's really unfortunate the way he would go, because he's still young, but coming off of an ACL injury and then an Achilles injury as well. It's just hard to justify paying that guy, especially when that cornerback room is filled with talent right now. You're talking about Benford, Elam, Russell Douglas gets restructured today. Dane Jackson's still there. Maybe Kyrie Elam, we'll see what's left of him there too. But it's an interesting day to see kind of what they decided to do. The Bills approach for today with all of these cuts today, Brandon Bean made a lot of hard decisions and a lot of decisions that he knew that fans were going to be upset with and that it was going to take a toll on this fan base, right? But he had to do it. Like, this is a situation where they were not going to kick the can down the road. They made that decision right away. They weren't going to just restructure a bunch of names and kick the can down the road financially to then have to come to roost in a couple of years later when maybe they didn't have the assets or didn't have the young talent already on this roster to kind of supplement this kind of year. Mind you, let's go over what we're really looking at here. Mitch Morse, starting center for the last couple of years, last 5 years. They do have a replacement in Connor McGovern. That's the plan going forward next year. That's according to Sal Sports and Rap Sheet today. Connor McGovern has played center in the past. So whether it's giving him an opportunity, whether it's a stopgap, or whether that was the plan all along, was to have him eventually shift to center, at least it's a guy who's been there before. They also re-signed David Edwards today at the guard position. So that replaces the guard, the backup and starting guard now. I guess he's going to be starting after getting rid of Ryan Bates. So this offensive line is still intact for next year. You would anticipate that they're going to add some depth, whether that be in the draft or in free agency, but that's probably the starting lineup they're going in with next year. Maybe a guard or an interior lineman later in this draft, maybe early in the draft. You know, it depends. That's the thing that happened most today is the mock drafts have been completely clear. Like, you could go any which way with a Bills mock draft, and I'm going to believe that. And we'll go to Jordan Poyer because of that, because now You know, a lot of people weren't expecting Micah Hyde to come back. There's a lot of expectations that Micah Hyde, maybe he's going to retire. Maybe he's not going to come back a Bill. Maybe he will come back a Bill now at this point with the way that this played out. But Jordan Poyer getting released was the first one of the day. Kind of surprising to see that. Poyer played pretty well last year, but he's clearly on the downturn of his career, especially past his athletic peak. And this is, they want to get younger in that defensive secondary. And when you have him and White both gone now, you know, White with the injury history, not quite as old, Poyer with the age and, you know, some injury history as well. This is a team that decided today, and Brandon, they didn't decide this today. They decided this a long time ago, but this is a team that planned. We needed to get younger. We can't have this aging 30-year-old roster restructured in the future. And the Saints are the team that everybody brings up. Yeah, they don't want to end up like the Saints, but it doesn't have to be. Even the Saints didn't have, you know, they had the tail end of Drew Brees and they're still dealing with the repercussions. The biggest thing is that the Bills don't have the tail end of Josh Allen. They have the prime of Josh Allen, right? Like Josh Allen is 27 years old. This is the best version of Josh Allen that we should be getting into the coming years, not just his past couple years, but the prime of your NFL career. And most athletes, 26, 27, 28, 29, we're just hitting those Josh Allen years. So yes, the cap situation was dire this year. If you look at SpotTrack now, they were about $40 million over the cap coming into the day. Right now, they're at $16 million over the cap. And we know that Josh Allen can get that number restructured down to save about $22 to $23 million. They can also extend Taron Johnson and Deion Dawkins, which will save money for them on the cap too. So they have and be players in free agency. Maybe they're going to go out and try to sign somebody, sign a bigger free agent than we think. There's clearly holes on this roster that we know about going into the draft and free agency, whether we're talking about safety, whether we were talking about, you know, defensive line, which remains to be seen. Daquan Jones still out there as a potential guy. And the offensive line now is going to be a priority. There has to be some depth signing brought into that offensive line. And obviously the wide receiver position, which we know they're not going to re-sign Gabe Davis at this point. He says the farewell video. He would have been mentioned among this. And they cut Hardy. So now the wide receiver room is going to get reshaped. The safety room, you know, I assume Taylor Rapp will be back, but the safety room is going to be reformed. The cornerback depth, I think that they're just going to roll into it next year with Benford and Douglas as the starters, Elam and Jackson as the backups there. But you look at this situation going up next for free agency, they might be able to spend on a guy, on a bigger safety free agent than they would have possibly been able to, maybe to fill that hole. Or maybe they're going to go after a Curtis Samuel as a wide receiver, or, you know, somebody, one of these higher paid wide receivers. Right now, free agent safeties, Jamal Adams, we're not touching Jamal Adams, man. Like, that's not going to happen. Buda Baker has a club option. Like Eddie Jackson, Quandre Diggs, Kevin Byard, these are all older options too, but they could be stopgap options at that safety position. If you want to look younger, a guy who's going to get a big contract, you know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson probably going to get a big deal coming up. But these are guys that maybe they touch on for the safety position. Maybe they go and spend a little bit there to try to fill that position. From the wide receiver position, like I said, Curtis Samuel, market value is about $12 million. Tyler Boyd, can they go spend on Tyler Boyd? Are they going to want to spend some money on, you know, maybe Odell if they want to bring in an older option? I think Curtis Samuel is my top target here, but there are good options that they could spend on. The fact of the matter is they have the money to spend on it now, or at the very least, they have the flexibility to spend if they want to once they do the Allen restructure, once they extend Taron Johnson, once they extend Deion Dawkins. It's a tough pill to swallow if you're a Bills fan today, sentimentally. Like, these are guys that, you know, Tre'Davious White, my brother put out a tweet, like, it's his first Bills jersey he ever owned. He's got, you know, the Trey White wings at Mulberry. Mitch Morse is obviously, like, a couple months ago, we're seeing the electric interview on Pat McAfee and him just talking about how much passion he has playing with Josh Allen, how much passion he has playing in front of Bills Mafia. That's a tough one to see for Mitch Morse, especially a guy with the injury history he had and being able to come back and be so effective for the Bills. Jordan Poyer revived his career in Buffalo, right? Like, Jordan Poyer was they took a swing on him. He was a guy who had noted issues in his personal issues going on in his life, got cut by the Browns, didn't know if he would have an NFL career after that, comes to Buffalo, fits seamlessly in to Sean McDermott's system, fits seamlessly next to Micah Hyde, and Hyde and Poyer for 7 years. 7 years, the continuity to have them together for 7 years. I think someone mentioned earlier that for 5.5, pretty much, they were together almost exclusive or on the field at the same time for 5.5 of 7 years. But 7 years to have those guys hold down the back end and be one of the best tandems in the league. And Poyer was still incredibly effective this year. He got signed to the smaller deal. He comes back to the Bills trying to run it back one more time after he thought he was going to get some big money last offseason. He plays like kind of a hybrid role. He's coming down to the box a lot this year. Like, he really did anything that they needed him to do. It's tough to see those guys go. When you talk about Hines, you know, for the smaller deals here, guys that didn't have as much impact on this roster, Hines, it's just a miss. Like, he got hurt in the offseason. They didn't really know how to utilize him when they first traded for him. It's unfortunate. Same thing with Hardy. It seems like he didn't really fit in with the scheme right away with Ken Dorsey. And then Joe Brady kind of tried to find some ways to use him. We'll always have the Deonte Hardy punt return, though, like, no matter what, against the Dolphins to win the AFC East. We'll always have that. Saran Neal, that's going to be an interesting thing to see who replaces him special teams wise. We know this Bills team cares about the special teams immensely. So we'll see who replaces them. But between White, Poyer, and Hyde, or White, Poyer, Hyde, potentially, we haven't known anything yet, and then Morse, it's just like I've seen the comparisons. I tweeted this. I've seen the comparisons to in 2000 with Bruce Smith and Andre Reed and Thurman Thomas. I'm not there. Like, that's a little different for me. Those are three skill positions, superstar players for teams that went to Super Bowls. But I understand the sentiment, right? Like, this is the best Bills era we've had since then. And between Tre'Davious White, who was the first Bill, Mitch Morse being like the center you're going to think about with Josh Allen, at least for this portion of his career, and Jordan Poyer on that back end, who's with that tandem with Hyde. It's hard to see those guys leave. It's hard to see those guys get cut loose, not even just leave on their own volition, but knowing that Brandon Bean had to call them up and be like, hey, listen, you're just not in the cards anymore. It's tough to think about those conversations. It's tough to get sentimental about that. But this is the biggest reminder that the NFL is a business. Days like today, because if they would have had a way to keep these guys and keep them under the cap and be as good of a team as they think they can be next year, guarantee you Brandon Bean would have done it. The dirty little secret of all this, and not what anybody really wants to hear. Everybody wants to be sentimental and give their flowers, as they should. You know, process this however you want as a sports fan. That's what the beautiful thing about sports is. For me, my first reaction is the Bills are going to be younger next year, and that bodes well for the Josh Allen era. This team was, I can't remember, it was second or third or at least in the top five in average age this year. That doesn't bode well for future success when your average age is up that high, and especially when you have a quarterback at 27. They needed to get younger. Josh needs to be one of the vets on this team. Like, that's really what we're talking about here. Josh needs to be one of the vets, and they need a younger roster, a cheaper roster. So there's a lot of pressure on Brandon Bean. I said the other day on Trainwreck Tonight, I said, I don't want to say that Brandon Bean's like on a hot seat or anything, but this is definitely the biggest, you know, offseason he's ever had. And it's really because he has to hit on these draft picks. And then you look at the cap casualties today, you know, no one expected Greg Thompson is like, I didn't expect, you know, he has his list of people that he thought was going to be cash casualties from cover one there. No one expected it to be all these people, right? Like, expected a couple of them. You get the Josh restructure, get a little bit of cap room, sign some depth guys and go into the draft and fill holes there. Now they have some money to play with, but the draft is still where I'm looking at. They've got 11 draft picks. They're probably going to use 11 draft picks, you know? Like, that's what I expect, at least. I expect them to use all 11 draft picks and try to retool this roster and hit on some guys later in the draft. This draft became incredibly important. Still think wide receiver is the number one position that they need to improve on this team. Safety is obviously going to be up there depending on what they do in free agency, but I do think that's a position they will look at in free agency with the amount of guys that are out there that could start next year and having Taylor Rapp on this roster. D-line is obviously still a thing that's going to – I think wide receiver and D-line, interior defensive line, are going to be the first two targets. And then we'll see safety an offensive interior. I think it's pretty, you know, a lot of mock drafts got cut up in a lot of different ways today, but I still think the priorities are the same. I just think the urgency of Brandon Bean having to hit on these draft picks got bigger. This is going to be the biggest Bills draft since the Josh Allen draft. But the thing is, like, it's the biggest one in a very long time because they really have to hit to maximize Josh Allen. And that's the one thing I'll leave you with here on this quick podcast. We'll be back Friday to break this down further. But on this quick reaction podcast, that's my biggest thing is we're not at the end of an era like it was when Bruce and Andre and Thurman got released, right? We are smack dab in the middle of the Josh Allen era of the Buffalo Bills. Unfortunately, the Josh Allen era of the Buffalo Bills is smack dab in the middle of the Patrick Mahomes era in the NFL. So Brandon Bean had to look at this roster long and hard and be like, where can we get better on the mark? Where can we get better and younger and maximize this superstar talent we have? And this is the way you do it. You make the tough decisions and you get younger at positions. Because really, if you look at it for this next year, White wasn't probably going to be a starter. He might have been the third cornerback on this team. Poyer would have been a starting safety, but we would have been like, okay, aging starting safety. Morse, I'm least shocked by Mitch Morse on this move. Maybe a little more shocked because of the Ryan Bates trade, but I mean, he's 33 or 34 years old and he has an injury history. That's a guy that is prime for this kind of thing when you're looking to make tough decisions. Hines, Hardy, and Neal, not surprised by any of that at all. Bean has to follow up. He's got to hit on his picks. He's got to hit on his signings. But this is what good teams do. They let go of guys before. You know, think of Bill Belichick and the Patriots. I don't want to invoke that name on this podcast right now, but he always cut guys too early. Like, he'd cut guys 2 years too before people thought and let them go get their paycheck. Be like, damn, Patriots are going to lose, you know, Chandler Jones or something like that. And then those guys would go, wouldn't produce as much as they did in New England. And then they end up coming back and then producing at a high level or a higher level than they were before with that in that system. I think that's what we're looking at with Brandon Bean. I think that's what he decided to do today. So it's a sad day to be a Bills fan, but I do think this is setting up for a great draft, a great free agency, and Brandon Bean forward thinking, looking ahead and trying to build out a sustainable, continuous championship contender with Josh Allen at the helm. And that's what we really want, right? It's going to be sad to see these guys go, but if it means that this roster is younger and all these holes are filled by the end of the year because of it, then so be it, guys. All right, we paid the bills. Shout out to Outlet Liquor, your place to buy a case. Have a good night, folks.